All right, thank you. Welcome, everyone. This is way more people than I expected. All right, so let's start. We have 20 minutes, and then we'll have like 5 minutes for questions. All right, I'm going to talk about the state of enterprise Linux today. I'm the product manager for RHEL Server, so I think I have like enough permission to talk about that. First thing, I don't think we do this enough. Everything that I've created in here, I want it to be share alike. I think I've discovered a problem in the world where I didn't for a long, long time, like 10 years, 20 years, whatever. I have not done this intentionally, and I think it's important to do it intentionally, or else I'm a hypocrite. If you look at like things like large language models right now and all the problems with that. All right, I will try to go a little slower. All right, so why would you care about this? Apparently, more people care than I thought. Okay, a couple of reasons you might care about this. Maybe you deeply care about open source. Does anyone raise your hand if you deeply care about open source? Sweet. Raise your hand if you think there might be a conspiracy at Red Hat. A couple. I know that guy. How about like, how many of you think that commercial interests play a strong role in open source today? Good or bad, either way. Okay, yeah, exactly. Are any of you curious about what customers say to people like me when I go and talk to them? All right, interesting. All right. What about how many of you do think that like open source is under threat? Like there are new threats to open source. Okay, so not as many as I would think, but I think there is. And how many of you have some optimism about this? All right, this is good. This is the right crowd, I think. I think we've matched up. So I think this is an example of why you should care. I had some guy beat me up online about this because I posted it. But the only thing I'm trying to show here, and by the way, Red Hat has historically contributed a lot to OpenSSL, although we don't as much as we used to because we had one of the main guys, et cetera, et cetera. There's a bunch of backstory. Long story short, though, 87% of non-trivial commits, not one-liners, are by 56 people that are all paid. So you see that there's definitely, like, this is a very crisp example of like commercial interests definitely influence open source. And in fact, in this case, pretty much almost all of it is done by commercial interests. So all right, so that's enough of why you should care. I think you all care. I didn't mean to do this slide. I'm going to make some loose definitions quickly. Don't beat me up. Don't kick me. How many of you are into SUSE really deeply and you love SUSE? I'm not going to talk about that. I don't think I have a lot of authority to talk about that. I think I'm the RHEL guy. I talk to a lot of Red Hat customers. I don't talk to a lot of SUSE customers unless they're leaving off and on. But to be honest with you, it's a pretty stable market comparatively. Like these don't happen that often. So long story short, I define enterprise Linux as like Fedora, CentOS, RHEL, Oracle, Rocky Alma, maybe some Amazon Linux mixed in there, et cetera, et cetera. Like the things that are kind of RPM-based and RHEL-based and kind of in that ecosystem. I call it a landscape because the word ecosystem has baggage at Red Hat. It means our partners that deliver software and hardware on it, so or in on RHEL, with RHEL. Sorry, RHEL, I use the word RHEL to describe Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So RHEL, if you hear me say that's what that means. It's the way we say it. All right, so just again, a tiny bit of background because I have very little time. This is how I view products. Open source or not, I think this is how Silicon Valley views it too. I stole this from some investor slide. I changed it to like what my brain was thinking. I was like, wait a minute, this is what I do at work. But long story short, you know, every product and service in the world, I'm American, so I have to think of everything as capitalism. It's the only thing we know. So there's a cost to everything, and then you set a price, and then you hope that you split the profit with the person that's buying the stuff. So like you sell them a car and they get to drive to work faster and they save time and they get to spend more time with their family, and there's a value to that, right? And the vendor sells them a car for 20,000 euros or 40,000 euros nowadays because it's more expensive. And then they save hopefully 20,000 euros in time, you know, driving their family around, et cetera, et cetera. This is basic products. But then when you look at open source, it's a little twisted, just a hair, because some of the cost is the upstream development, And then some of the cost is productizing it and selling it and marketing it. There are other costs in there. But everybody kind of expects their profit. You know, the community wants free stuff. I do. I want to be able to use Linux on my laptop. I am using RHEL, but I like Fedora and Ubuntu and SUSE, and I've used every Linux distro out there. I was a long-time Gentoo user, to be honest. But long story short, you can kind of see community profit, vendor profit, buyer profit. There's a price up here. There's not really a price in this first category. But if you think of it this way, now you can start to think of like, all right, well, what market problems do these different groups of people solve and for what reasons? And I think it makes it crisper and easier to think through when things are right and wrong and et cetera, et cetera. All right, so I will get into the saucy part. So I gave a talk very deeply on this at Ohio Linux Fest a few months back, maybe, midsummer. I will not actually go super deep into this. I do want to say, like, this is kind of my view of the world. I ran it by a bunch of people at Red Hat. Nobody disagreed. I've ran it by a bunch of public people. Nobody's really beat me up too bad about this. But this is kind of the state of things today. You know, I had another drawing where I showed Alma down here, but they kind of went up there. And I think this is kind of still the state of it. I do want to show that, like, you know, RHEL CoreOS we view as sort of downstream of RHEL. Like, it's a version of RHEL for OpenShift. And then we think of Red Hat Universal Base Image as like a subset of RHEL. And so you kind of can almost think of those as quasi-downstream. They're really kind of like the same stream, but like subsets of RHEL. I think that's probably the only like